I'm John Batchelor. I welcome from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery, United States Navy retired, and Ivana Stradner, research fellow, to comment on a recent article they published jointly, Putin Wants War in the Balkans. The Balkans, yes. What is that? That's 100 years ago. That was the start of the Great War. But, Ivana and Mark, very good evening to you. Ivana, who is President Alexander Vučić? What do we need to know about him? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me. So as we discussed President Vučić multiple times on your show, he's the president of Serbia. And he has been in power since 2012, but he has been in politics for many decades. Before becoming the president of Serbia, he was in the opposition, the part of the radical party, far-right groups. He was the minister of information during the Milosevic time. So he's really and truly an expert in psychological warfare, which tells you all you really need to know, how he manipulates the information space in Serbia and making sure you know that the Balkans is leaning far away from the West. And my final point related to him is that he also likes to consider himself as a top-notch chess player. But the only issue is that nowadays we live in a very 3D chess, and he's trying to play 2D chess, trying to balance between the West and Russia. That worked in the past, and I truly hope that it's not going to work in the future, and then more and more people are waking up to the threat that his regime is posing to the region and to the West.
Mark, I read from the DNI's report, Assessment of the Western Balkans. The Western Balkans probably will face an increased risk of localized interethnic violence during 2024. It names especially clashes between Serb nationalists and Kosovar authorities have led to deaths and injuries. In your article in the Wall Street Journal, you identify this as something that is important and useful to the Kremlin, especially to Vladimir Putin. How so, Mark? Thank you.
Well, John, thanks for having me this evening, and a real pleasure to be here with Ivana and to write this article, because I think it's very important that we do point out that that threat assessment, I think, it doesn't lowball it, but it doesn't, I think, put the right level of focus on the fact that this is something one of our key adversaries, Russia, is very much benefiting from occurring. In other words, it's one thing that, yes, there's tension, and the tension would exist without Russia, but Russia is like a Bunsen burner underneath that tension. And why would Russia want this? That's a fair question for you to ask it. And the answer is they need to both distract NATO from the Ukraine conflict, but even more importantly, demonstrate to everyone in NATO that the United States is, you know, a kind of a squishy ally in the sense that we won't push forward, and that the Europeans won't step into a Balkans conflict. And what it does is it lowers the credibility of NATO at a time that NATO's under pressure in the fight between Russia and Ukraine. Vladimir Putin, he is a 3D chess player, to use Ivana's terms, and he absolutely understands that the fourth law of thermodynamics, if he can put heat over there, it takes heat off of him in Ukraine. And so that's why you're seeing him pressurize the Western Balkans. There'll be others, but I think Ivana and I have properly indicated ground zero for the first kind of pressure point.
About the Serbian capabilities, Ivana, are they a first-rate military, or would they do this in what we've come to understand as hybrid warfare, you know, the little green men or police authorities or provocations that they have to rescue Serbian nationals? How are they going to do it?
To begin with, Serbia has been arming itself, you know, for years. They received weapons from Russia. They received weapons from China. But Serbia is also producing weapons for themselves. But I'm not so much, you know, concerned about Russian and Chinese weapons in the region. Because even during the Milosevic time back in the 90s, Serbia operated through special operation forces. Something that Putin actually had used back in 2014 in Ukraine, the little green man. Serbia used a very similar strategy last year during two incidents in Kosovo. And I have no doubt that they are going to rely on special operation forces more than they are going to rely on weapons from China and Russia. And that serves as a very powerful tool for plausible deniability, So basically the same game that we had back in the 90s, but this time we are not in a multiple, we are not in a unipolar world, but multipolar world, which means that Russia will certainly, back such militias.
What I'm understanding, Mark, is that Bosnia-Herzegovina, Serbia, Kosovo, they're fragile. Fragile all these decades later after the conflict of the late 20th century. That fragility suits the Kremlin. To your understanding, is the Pentagon aware of this? The DNI is, but is the Pentagon aware of this? And what are the contingencies? The Europeans are reluctant to get involved in any conflict except to send money. Is it going to change if it's the Western Balkans?
So first, what I would say, I'd want to kind of qualify the fragility. Bosnia-Herzegovina is extremely fragile. I mean, it's built on a fragile premise of these three, Bosniak or Bosnian Muslim, Serb and Croat kind of, a tripartite leadership regime. It is the definition of fragile. I'm not sure that any other country is created as fragile in the world as Bosnia. So let's say Bosnia-Herzegovina, let's say that. Kosovo's fragile in the sense that it is vulnerable to a much more powerful country north of it who has longstanding grievance, 25 years of grievance. I think of its own volition, if there was no Serbia, Kosovo would be fine. Serbia is not fragile, but its appetite exceeds the dinner in front of it, right? In other words, they would like more than they can get on their own, so they're beholden to Russia for increased support. So that's how I describe the fragility there. But Bosnia-Herzegovina is just, it's porcelain China. Now, what the DNI laid it out, I mean, yes, the military knows exactly what the DNI believes. The issue is, the military has, 100 coins to lay around the world, and a lot of them have to stay at home for nuclear and all these other things. And as they lay these bets around the table, we have some pretty heavy bets in with China, some pretty heavy bets in the Baltics and Poland and as NATO and Ukraine in terms of support. And we have some growing bets in the Middle East. So do I think that the military is excited about increasing its level of effort in the Western Balkans? No. Quite the opposite. They're hoping that, their course of action right now is, deep prayer and hope, that nothing happens there. And we're warning them, hope is not a course of action. And the Europeans aren't going to be any, are just as, in just the same state of denial. So we consider this an area of severe risk during 2024.
Ivana, you note that it's the 75th anniversary of NATO, and that Moscow is looking to open a new front, the Balkans. Is Vučić on board with that? Is he obeying the Kremlin? Does this suit him? Because it means that he's giving up on a lot of pledges of cash, I think is the way to think of it. Is he ready to go despite that? What you could say was a good reason to hesitate?
Vučić, as I mentioned, he has been playing a 2D chess between Russia, China on one side, and the West on the other side. So a lot of policymakers in the West, they love to actually say that Vučić has no incentives to challenge the West in the Balkans because the only thing that he cares about is to remain in power. But then I want to challenge them and then to ask, why did Vučić actually last year use his power to destabilize Kosovo two times and also to injure 90 NATO peacekeepers, if that was only the case? We also really have to pursue and to understand this also not through the question of economic relations and cooperation, but also through ideology. Because let's not forget, he was a far-right nationalist who, during the Milosevic time, he said, for every Serb that was killed, we need to kill 100 Muslims. But today, he presents himself as someone who can actually negotiate with the West and who is willing, to play this balancing strategy. But a balancing strategy, it is the rhetorics for the West. The balancing strategy does not work well for Putin. Putin has very different goals in the region. He has different proxies in the region. So while Vučić is thinking that he is playing these balancing games, actually, I also do believe that he also had incentives to challenge the West and to show that the West is not going to lift the finger. That's exactly what happened in 2023, and let's not repeat that in 2024.
Ivana Stratner is a research fellow, and Mark Montgomery is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,